Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter number 11. The Lord has begun speaking to my heart and dealing with me about a man, I guess, is probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Now, there's not much said about him. You could read everything that's said about this particular man in probably 30 seconds. Probably could read everything said about him in the Bible. If you had your places marked, probably could read them all in less than 30 seconds. But God does not record value by volume. It's not how much that's said. It is what is said. And a good illustration of that is many times we reference Isaiah and Jeremiah and, being the major prophets, and then we look at Obadiah and Jonah and Amos and all those smaller ones as they're called the minor prophets. They're not minor in that they are less important. They're minor in just their size. God doesn't, and if you get a hold of that one statement right there, it'll help you individually. God doesn't measure value by volume. Amen. I mean, just one statement, I am saved. That don't take one breath and about 3 seconds to say it. But look what's included in that statement. I am saved. I mean, I could start right now and preach this morning and tonight on what that one little statement implies. Amen. So value is not measured by volume. Now the world says, I don't know why I'm on this. This is all, I didn't plan on saying none of that. The world goes right the opposite of that. The world does measure value by volume. If there's not a whole lot could be said about you, and you've not done a whole lot, and you don't have a whole lot, and so forth, then you're a nobody. The world measures value by volume, but God don't. Amen. And that's a good little statement. Genesis chapter 5, we'll read first. How many's heard of the man named Enoch? And what is it that is known about Enoch? If you were to say, preacher, soon as I hear the man Enoch's name, what immediately comes to mind? What would you say? I heard it all over the congregation. Walked with God. Walked with God. That's a small statement, but is it not volumes of truth? Now we're going to deal with that, Lord willing, in the message this morning. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, in verse number 21. Chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And again it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now we know that statement to define the fact Enoch escaped this world without passing through the clods of the grave. God just translated him. In fact, we're going to read that. Hold your place there. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. The Bible says in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, I like that statement, before his translation, before he left this world, while he was here on planet Earth, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I know what some of you think immediately. Preacher, if I lived when he lived, I could please God too. Wait a minute. You better go back and realize I read in Genesis 5. We read about Enoch first in Genesis 5, and you know what happens in Genesis 6 and 7, the flood. So Enoch lived in the days prior to the flood when wickedness abounded everywhere. Wickedness and sin of the worst kind covered the globe and touched and defiled every life except for 8 people, Noah and his family. But Enoch lived for God when nobody else was. Enoch walked with God when nobody else was. We can as well. And the Bible said that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer and ask you to pray for us as we deal with a very important subject this morning, walking with God. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name this morning and I would ask God that you would help us. I pray that you'll bring to my attention and to my thoughts and to my remembrance, God, the things, Lord, that you would have us to say to this awaiting congregation. Lord, I not only would ask you to anoint me to preach, but I would ask you to anoint the ears to hear. Lord, we are interested this morning in you speaking to us. I pray that everyone this morning that is not right with God will get right. I pray this morning that everyone that is lost will get saved. Father, I pray that, Lord, we'll all do business with you here today. Help me to be clear. Help me to be simple and plain, easy to understand. We pray you'll deliver us from distraction this morning. May your will be done. May you be glorified. And we'll give you the praise for it. For we ask it in the most high and holy, exalted name that has ever come across the lips of a human being. The name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now our subject, walking with God, is certainly a big subject. It is a big subject because of who we get to walk with as believers. And I want to say that one of the greatest privileges of being saved is that we get to walk with God. Does every saved person walk with God? I think the answer is a no on that. Can every saved person walk with God? Yes. Every saved person can. It's not a preacher privilege. It's not just a certain elite group for a privilege. But every person that knows God as their personal Savior and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit can walk with God. Can walk with God. And no doubt that is the chief purpose for which God saves you, is that you walk with Him and that He has fellowship out of your life. And I was praying about this message and just praying about the service and in prayer, but God just began to burden my heart a couple of things about this question God asked me to ask you. How many are interested in having a close walk with God? I mean, really, check your heart. Look for honesty. Look for honesty. Look for evidence. How many today sitting in RBT this morning that really in your heart there is a burning desire to walk with God, to have fellowship and intimacy with God? I wonder how many does. And so the question was asked in my heart, how many are interested in maintaining even? Not just having, but maintaining a closeness with God. Amen. What effects, what evidence is there in your life that you are striving to have fellowship with God or to walk with God? I believe if you're trying to walk with God, somebody's going to know it. Amen. I believe you'll be the first one to know it. You'll be the first one to know it, and others will know it. As I believe illustrated with Enoch, others knew his life, and his life had an impact on those around him. We know that because in Hebrews 11 and verse 5, that when he was not found, the Bible says that he was not found. That implied that somebody missed him when he was gone. That implied that when Enoch left out for glory, that he left a hole here, that it was evident of a vacancy. I wonder if I were to die today, would anybody even recognize I'm gone? I mean, would we leave? We should all desire to leave such a testimony behind that it has an impact and an influence on those around us, family, friends, work associates, schoolmates, neighbors, leave such an impact that when we are no longer there, our influence no longer there, that we are greatly missed. And Enoch is just like the church. Enoch is just like the church in that Enoch left out of here in a supernatural evacuation, a supernatural translation, if you will. He left out of here prior to the judgment of God upon this earth. So it is, the church today is not destined, my friend, to go into the tribulation period. Amen. The church, it's not for the church. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is for Israel. It is dealing 100% with His people, dealing with them, getting them ready to receive Jesus Christ, their King, that they rejected when He was here on planet Earth. Noah, on the other hand, that followed Enoch, was the type of Israel. He wasn't taken out before the flood. He was taken through the flood, a type of Israel that's going to be preserved through the tribulation period. Are you listening? I'm talking about the one here that had such an influence on other people, Enoch by name. One day they looked around and he was there, and they looked around the next day and he was gone. That influence that was put in their life to talk to them and teach them and instruct them and be an example to them, one day was gone. Oh, I want to tell you, we all could say this, that people have been placed in our lives. Whether it be grandparents, parents, could be friends, work associates, and in some cases a stranger that would knock on our door to hand us a gospel tract and invite us to church. But anyway, God puts people in your life to influence you for the glory of God. That would influence your life. One day they're going to be gone. You young people here this morning, you need to get a hold of what God is trying to give you, what God is trying to give you through influences of godly people. You need to get a hold of it, because one day Preacher Rackley will be gone. One day some of these testifiers will be gone. Some of these shouters will be gone. Some of these silver-haired saints were leaving off of the scene. Are you listening? You need to take advantage of those influences in your life. What if I'd have waited till 45 or 50? What if I'd have waited for that? Mom and Dad both been gone. Are you listening? God wanted me to say that to you this morning. Enoch was there and there for a long time, and oh, what a testimony, and how he preached and how he practiced and how he walked with God in the eyes of man. And by the way, spirituality is visible. Other people won't have to look hard to see it in your life. If you can keep it hid, it's not much. If you can keep it hid in your life and nobody ever sees much of it in your life, my friend, it's not much to you. It's not meaningful. It's not important to you. Amen. But if it's big to you, you don't mind for it to be a displayed on the outside. Amen. You can spot Vol fans far as you can see them. Are you listening? They don't even have to open their mouth because they're dressed in orange. And they have big T's on their hat and big T's on their shirt and orange flags flopping on their antennas and out their windows. Amen. Why? Because that's big to them. They want it known. They want it evident on the outside that they're hooked up with that team and identified with that team. I was aggravating Ovi there. Not Ovi. The one from Birmingham. What's his name? Yeah. I was aggravating him. I said he had on the Rolling Tide hat and all that stuff, you know. And I said, hey, could I ask you a question? I said, I was wondering, does Alabama have a football team? Oh, that just killed him. That just killed him. He jerked that hat off and stuck it in my face, you know. He said, he wanted me to see that crimson red and that big A on it. I said, oh, they do have, you know. Are you listening? I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, what influences you in your spiritual life. You don't mind for it to be seen. You don't mind to speak about it. Spirituality is visible and verbal. Thank God I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I am not ashamed of the work of God He's done in my life. I'm not ashamed of the godly influences that He's put in my life. I am not ashamed to testify and identify with the godly heritage that I have. And I purpose with all that's in me to carry on that banner and to pass it on to the next generation that they likewise will carry it on. But there's a lot that we could say about this, about walking with God, but I'm going to be very simple this morning, which I don't have a hard time doing. But I'm going to be very simple this morning to share with you some real simple little truths about that idea of walking with God. What does that mean? It's a good exercise program for sure, isn't it? Walking with God is a good exercise program. In fact, it's a good cardiovascular workout. Walk with God will help your heart. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Well, that was just a side thought there. But here's the first thing. Walking with God. And we know we can because Enoch did. We know we can. And here's some things that I want to share with you. First of all, when I see Enoch and about the idea of walking with God, first thing I come to my mind was, what a faith. What a faith. In fact, him walking with God was the result of his faith. Walking with God is the fruit. His faith is the root. If you have the root, you don't have to work on trying to manufacture the fruit. If there's no fruit, there's no root. Amen? But I see Enoch walking with God was the result of his faith. Notice the wording in Hebrews 11. But I'll try to deal with these as the Lord will help me this morning. But I noticed the first two words of chapter 11, verse 5. By faith. Note those two words. By faith, Enoch. In other words, because of his faith. Caused by his faith. Stirred by his faith. He did this. And I want to tell you, faith does anything. Faith will hook you up with God. We've got multitudes of people today on planet Earth that are claiming that they know God, but they never seemingly walk with God. Never seemingly walk with God. Faith, real, true, saving, Bible faith, is an active faith. It will activate spirituality, spiritual life, spiritual growth, spiritual desires in your life. Enoch, why did you walk with God? Faith caused it. Faith stimulated it. Faith stirred it in my heart. By faith. And those two words is listed in verse 4 before it talked about Abel. By faith, Abel. And then told what he'd done because of that faith. It come into verse number 5. By faith Enoch, and told what he did because of his faith. Goes right on into verse number 7. By faith Noah, and told what he did because of his faith. Went on into verse number 8. By faith Abraham, and told what he did because of his faith. What is it that you're doing? What is it you are doing because of your faith? What is your faith causing you to do? How is your faith causing you to live? A lot of people today have claimed this kind of faith right here. It is a faith that is profession only. That is, I know the Lord, or I know God, or I believe in God, but there's no evidence seemingly of it in their life. Did you know that I find that same kind of faith in James chapter number 2? I find that same kind of faith that demons have. The Bible said that the devils also believe and tremble. Nobody on planet Earth, nobody in eternity believes in God any more strongly than demonic forces. The devil is one of the greatest believers in God that there ever was. Are you listening? Amen. I mean, the devil believes, demons believe, but are they saved? No, that faith that they have is just a mental acknowledgement. It is merely a mental assent, an agreement. Yeah, I know. I believe in God. But there's no faith, no genuine active faith that changes their life and causes them to live for the Lord. Oh yes. What a faith. When I see a man walking with God for 300 years in such dark, difficult, defiled days, that causes me to say, how'd you do that, Enoch? What's the secret, Enoch? And I believe you'd say, faith. 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 Do you have a faith that's hooked you up with God? Do you have a faith here this morning that has got you walking with God? Before I got saved, January 20th, 1981, at the age of 20 years old, before I got saved, I want to tell you, I was raised in a Christian home, godly parents, godly heritage, church every Sunday, every time the doors was open. But I want to tell you what, though I had the exposure, I did not have the experience. Why? Because it wasn't real to me. It was real to Grandma. I seen her shout and cry and weep. It was real to Mom and Dad. It was real to the preacher. It was real to others, but it was not real to me. I could see it, but I couldn't see it. I was around it, but I wasn't in it, if you can make sense. I went to church, but I never got in church, if you know what I'm saying. But I want to tell you, when I got saved by the grace of God, that faith, my friend, activated into my heart a desire, a life that wanted to live for Jesus. You say, preacher, what has kept you from going back to the dance floor and the bar stools and the wicked places of this world? Preacher, what has kept you from it? I'll tell you, faith has activated a new life, a new Lord, and a new love in my life. Why would I want to go back to those things? Why would I want to go back to those places when I have someone that is much greater and much better, and His name is Jesus? What a faith. You don't walk with something imaginary for 300 years. Enoch walked with God 300 years. Why? Because faith makes God real to you. Let me share this with you. I got to go on. I could preach a whole message on that one point, but I'm trying to learn that. I've been preaching 30 years. I'm trying to learn this. Not give you everything I know, just give you enough to where you get it. That's hard for me to do. It's hard for me to get on a subject and I've got a whole bunch of information, good stuff needs to be said about it, could be said about it, preached about it, and then have to leave it, half of it off. That's hard for me to do. I'll just tell you this. Amen. But I need to just give you enough to where you get it and go on. Some of you say amen right there. I figured I'd get a whole church full of amens right there. But when you get saved by the grace of God, faith, real Bible faith is active faith. Real Bible faith is a faith that gives life. It causes things to happen in your life. You don't have to get up the next day after getting saved and say, oh, well, now I'm saved. Now I've got to live for Jesus. No, friend. Faith causes, faith brings into your life the reality of God. Let me give you this. God is a spirit. Is that not right? The Bible says God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. You can't walk with a spirit. Isn't that right? Because you can't see him. You don't know where he's at. You don't know what that spirit's, what direction it's going in. Well, then how can we walk with God then? How can we walk with God if he's a spirit? I'll tell you how. When your human spirit is made alive in salvation, when you have been quickened of God and he puts his divine nature in you when you get saved, he puts his Holy Spirit in you when you get saved, then guess what that does? That gives you a hookup into the spirit world, and you are able to know God and his realness to you. The flesh can't walk with God. The flesh can't know God. The flesh cannot, the human nature cannot have a hookup with God. That's why good works don't matter far as salvation is concerned. That's why being just a good person will never do it. It's because the flesh, the fallen nature, will never have a hookup with God because God is spirit and the flesh is natural. If you're going to get hooked up with God, there's got to be a day, there's got to be a point, there's got to be a time in your life where God hemmed you up, if I could say it that way. Where God showed you that you was in trouble because you've sinned against God. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to ask you this morning, has there ever been a time in your life, I'm talking about pinpoint, you wasn't always here physically, there was a birthday in your life. There was a day in your life when you was born physically. You wasn't just always here. Amen, there's a birthday. And you were not always saved and you're not always been a Christian. There's a point that started. There was a time that there was a new birth that took place. Can you go back in your mind to that time and that place? You may not remember if it was June or July or September. You may not remember if it was 19 whatever or 2000 whatever. You may not remember if it was a Sunday or a Tuesday. You may not remember some of those details. But I'll tell you, God bless your heart, you will know that there was a time that God did business with you and you responded and did business with Him and a new life started. If there's never been a time in your life that that happened, you are not saved. That's not me, my declaration, my opinion. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Are you listening? You've heard me make the statement here. Salvation is both a day and a life. A lot of people's got the life, but they don't have the day. My wife was like that. My wife had the life, you know, but she went to looking back for the birthday and couldn't find it. And if you can't find your birthday, do you have rights of saying, I'm alive? I'm talking about spiritually. She could go back in her life, no birthday. She went back and found a baptismal time, a time she was baptized, but not a time when she was converted. She had the life, but not the day. I was the opposite. I had a day that I claimed to be saved. I sure didn't have no life. I sure didn't live no Christian life. I didn't go to Christian places. I didn't talk Christian talk. I didn't listen to Christian music. There wasn't nothing about me Christian, but if you'd asked me if I'd have got saved, I would have pointed out a certain day when I was 8 years old. I want to tell you, friend, true salvation is what it takes for you to get to heaven. And my friend, true salvation has a birthday and a life. I don't have to get up every day or even once a month or once a year and go in the file cabinet and pull out my birth certificate. I don't have to go and look to see if I had a birthday because my life makes it evident that I had a birthday. So, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about living for God, walking with God. I have to say, what a faith. Faith is makes God real to you. Faith hooks you up with God. What a faith. Number two, could I say, what a fellowship. Man walked with God 300 years in a dark and a difficult time when nobody else was living for the Lord. I say, what a fellowship. Enoch did not have fellowship with the world. He had fellowship with God. Enoch, listen, how many people in church today are really interested in fellowshipping with God, walking with God, knowing God? But rather, they're more interested in having fellowship with the world. And even Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, what fellowship hath light with darkness? When you talk about the term fellowship, you're talking about having something in common. I can't have fellowship with you, nor you with me, unless we've got something in common. Amos 3 and verse 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? There has to be something in common. Somebody said the best way to define fellowship is two fellas on the same ship. It's amazing how many people claim to be saved and seemingly they have great fellowship with the world, Brother Bob, but no fellowship with God or the things of God or the people of God. When they go to church, they're as out of place as a round peg in a square hole. They just don't seem to fit in with this church crowd. But they can get around that cussing crowd and that drinking crowd and that doping crowd and all of that dancing crowd and that wicked crowd, and they fit in like a hand in a glove. If I was you, I'd do some serious searching on that, because that doesn't line up with God's Word. Before I got saved, yes. Yes, dear friend, perfectly I fit in with that crowd. In fact, I was a leader in it. I was the class clown. The life of the party. I was at everything going on and loved it. But when I got saved by the grace of God, I'm not talking about over a 6 month period of time. I'm talking about instantly. God changed my desire, that changed my direction. That crowd, my friend, that once I thought was my closest friends. The only thing that changed was I got saved. I'm talking about saved good. I'm talking about saved all over. Amen. I'm talking about gloriously saved. And instantly, Brother Ivan, when I got saved, that crowd that I went to school with, some of them for 12 years. Some of that crowd I'm talking about, probably I was as close to as, probably close as I was my own brother, if not closer to some. When I got saved, all of a sudden, there was something wrong. Wasn't nothing I said. I just got saved. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing about biblical separation or sanctification. I didn't know enough to say to them, now look, fellas, you know, y'all doing things I can't do anymore. I didn't know enough. All I knew was I had passed from death unto life. All I knew was I'd stepped out of darkness into light. All I knew was that I was no longer that old Barry, no more. That I had been made a new creature in Christ. And all of a sudden, that crowd that once wanted me around and wanted to ride in my truck and wanted to go places with me, all of a sudden, they started going without me. They started doing without me. You know why? We lost that commonness. What I had in common now was with people that carried a King James Bible. What I had in common now was people that would say, glory to God, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Yeah. That church-going crowd, that Jesus-following, Jesus-loving crowd, all of a sudden, without any effort on my part, just getting saved, God hooks me up with that crowd. And boy, I fit in with them like a hand in a glove. Church, you're my crowd. The world's not my crowd. I don't have anything in common with it. It's not that I'm better than they are. They just love what I don't love no more. And I love what they don't love. How can I fellowship with somebody that hates the life that I'm living and the Lord that I'm serving and the Bible that I preach? Well, Lord help us. What a fellowship. The songwriter had it right, didn't he? Or whoever, it might have been a she wrote it. I'd have to look. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning upon the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. Oh, you don't know, listen, what you're missing by missing out on intimacy with God, knowing God. You know why Enoch walked with God? 300 years, he had something in common with God. He loved what God loved. Amen. What a fellowship. What a faith. That's where it all starts. There has to be something that starts, and it's faith. What a faith. What a fellowship. And then I want to mention the next several things we could have said on that. But here's another thing. What a friend. Woo! What a friend. 300 years Enoch walked with God. Can you imagine how many people excommunicated Enoch? Can you imagine how many people wouldn't have anything else to do with Enoch because of his new friend? Oh, I could hear Enoch say when the boys would call him and say, "Hey, Enoch, hey, we're going down here and we're going to do such and such." And Enoch say, "Well, boys, I can't do that no more. I've got a new friend." What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend he's been to me. Many of my friends have bailed out. Many of my friends that I, as I said, was once so close with, my friend, I very seldom ever see them. Very seldom ever hear from them. And I was preaching revival in Georgia not long ago, just a few weeks ago. And one of my closest friends in high school, we called him Dude. Because he was from Florida. We called him the Florida Dude. But he just got that name. We just called him Dude. Everybody in school called him Dude. Well, he's down in Georgia somewhere. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to live down there, but really? That's just a joke, all right? Well, he had found out through the internet that I was going to be in Georgia. And he didn't know exactly where it was, so he got in touch with me and wanted to know where I was preaching because he wanted to come and hear me preach. Oh, would he have wanted to come and hear me preach if I still did the things I used to do? If I was the old Barry doing the old Barry things, would you think he'd have been interested? No. Two different times in my class reunion from a public school, guess what? They asked me to come and preach to my classmates. Hallelujah. It pays to serve the Lord. You may not think it does, but there's a day coming. In fact, there'll be many days where there'll be a reward come for you living for Jesus. What a friend. What a friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. God has not ever bailed out on me. He's never left me in the middle of a jam. He's there all the time. What a faithful friend. The Bible said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Enoch, I look at him walking with God, I have to say, what a faith. Enoch walking with God, I have to say, what a fellowship. Enoch walking with God, I have to say, what a friend. Not just a friend that God was to him, but that Enoch was to God. We could all say in this building today that God is a faithful friend. But are we? Are we a friend to God? And then when I look at Enoch walking with God for 300 years, this comes to my mind and heart. I not only have to say what a faith and what a fellowship and what a friend, but I have to say what fun. Do you think Enoch walked with God bored for 300 years? Do you think Enoch, my friend, had to get up every day and say, I really don't want to. All right, God, let's go. No, there was a pleasure associated with walking with God. Enoch was getting something from the relationship. Enoch was receiving from the fellowship that which contented him and satisfied him. Enoch did not need the world, Brother Henry, because Enoch had God. Oh, yes, the world will never, ever be able to fulfill and content you as God can. You can have all of the world and still be miserable. Still be miserable. You can be known in the popular ranks by the whole world and still be empty as an old gourd dish. Remember them old gourd dishes? How many of you used to go over to the spring and you dip out of the spring with them old gourd dippers? There's a hollow. There's empty from one end to the other. Amen. That's the way a lot of people are. They from the outside, it looks like one thing, but the inside is hollow. Inside, my friend, is empty. Oh, I will tell you, the world will leave you empty. The world cannot fill you except with heartache and misery and regret. But I want to tell you, I can testify. Listen, I'm not a Johnny come lately. I didn't fall off the last load of pumpkins come through town. I've been in this way 30 years, and I can testify that being saved fills you, contents you, and is a great pleasure to serve God. Hallelujah, what fun, what pleasure, what joy, what peace, what satisfaction, hallelujah. The world have their amusements. You ever went to their amusement parks? This is about the best they can do. You pay and you get on a ride. And that's about all the world gives you, a ride. Nothing real, but just a ride. And you get on that ride and then you go, woo, and all this down, all of a sudden it's over. Huh? Get on that roller coaster and you're upside down and go through the turns and twists and you know your stomach's plumb up around your ears and your heart's beating out of your chest and all of a sudden, next thing you know, next. But I don't want to get off. I want to ride again. Next. In other words, it stops about as quick as it starts. That's right. But oh, walking with God, Enoch would testify, what fun. What pleasure, what peace, 300 years with no trinkets or toys, just God, and he was satisfied. What fun. And I'm going to close with this. When I think of Enoch walking with God, 300 years, I think of what a future. Walking with God implies a direction and a destiny. You walk with God, guess what? He's going to take you somewhere. God is desiring to take you somewhere. But ultimately, and I'm talking about here and now. I'm talking about God wants to take us to levels spiritually here that you could never know other than through Him. But one day after a while, this old life is going to be forever over. Obie, I'm kindly envious of Miss Stapleton. I'll just be honest with you. I'm envious of my mom and dad. They're already gone. They're out of this old rat race. They'll never know worry no more. They won't have to be concerned with the high prices of gas and the falling economy and who's going to be president and what's the ragheads going to do and what about nuclear war and that. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. That's right. I mean, no worry. Hallelujah. What a future. You walk with God, God's going to take you somewhere. And there's a lot of people, Brother Silas, and I'm right now done. Listen to this. There's a lot of people that's claiming that they're going to heaven. They're not walking with God. You know who I believe that I could prove from the Scriptures really do go to heaven, really are saved people? Disciples of Jesus Christ. You read John 10, you read that verse, Brother Mark, where Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Boy, we shout about that. Woo! But you need to really look at who the them is. The them in that passage is His sheep. And He said of His sheep, "They follow Me." Those that are going to make it, praise God, to heaven are those that have been born again. They're on the straight and narrow path, and they're following Jesus. Amen. There's nothing found in the Scripture where somebody runs to an altar, prays a prayer, and they never have nothing to do with God after that. That's alien from the Scripture. That's not found in the Word of God. God, when you get saved, hooks you up with Him and puts His nature, His Spirit, and His life in you. Did you know nature determines everything? How a duck acts and looks and its appetite, everything comes from the fact that he's got a duck nature. Nature determines everything. You're a human nature. You got a human nature, and you get that through a human birth. That's why you're human. You know, you don't eat dog food and pig slop, and you don't eat worms. Birds eat worms. Why? It's their nature. Pigs eat slop. Why? It's their nature. I don't. I eat T-bone steak. Amen. Every once in a while. My wife eats grass and stuff like that. Amen. Healthy. I wonder what nature she's got. No, I'm just kidding. But nature determines your appetite. What you like to feed on comes from your nature. Nature determines your association. Deer likes to run with deer. Ducks with ducks. Birds with birds. Or you live fish with fish. What determines your association is your nature. Amen. Determines your appetite, your association, your appearance, the way things look comes from their nature. You don't have to wonder if a squirrel is a rabbit or a rabbit is a duck. Why? Because the nature determines their looks, determines their action, how they act. Birds fly. Fish swim. determines their action. Your nature determines your environment. Fish live in water. Birds live in the air. Worms live in the ground. Why? Nature determines the environment. People claim to be saved, and everywhere they go, it's an environment of lost people. It's an environment of sin. It's an environment of wickedness. That's not a new nature. That's not the new nature of God. Enoch walked with God 300 years. What a future. If you're not walking with God and you're not saved, you don't have no future. Actually, let me rephrase that. You do have a future. But it's one of torment and one the Bible would describe as being in hell. Amen. Well, it's a lot better to walk with God and deny the flesh and deny the world. Just walk with God and live your life and make a mark for Jesus and be able to enjoy heaven and the things of God forever. Amen. Than to have fellowship with the world and sin and try to get all of it you can get and have all of it you can have and miss heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. And if you're not truly, truly, biblically born again, you are not heaven bound as I speak. Now listen to this. The Bible is your birth certificate. The Word of God is your birth certificate. The Bible says in John 5:39, "Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are they that testify of me." God says if you're saved, you should be able to... This Bible not only produces it, produces your salvation. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God produces salvation, and the Word of God is the proof of salvation. Does this Bible confirm that you're heaven bound? You better not go off of what I think, you think, somebody else thinks. Nobody knows if you're saved but you. The only one I know on planet Earth, listen, don't take me wrong now. The only one I know on planet Earth today that's saved is me. That I know saved. I'm not saying I'm the only one saved. I'm just saying I'm the only one I know for a fact is saved because it happened to me. And you should be able to say the same thing. Preacher Rackley, I think you're saved. I'm persuaded you're saved, but I cannot say with a definite you are saved. Don't listen, eternity's too long to be wrong. You don't have to hope so, wish, wonder, might be, could be. I'll see if the good will outweigh the bad. No. I'll wait till I get... I've had people to tell me such foolishness. I'll wait, preacher, till I get to the judgment to find out. Too late. Too late. You get saved here. You get saved on this side of the grave. Are you going to miss it? Are you saved this morning? And if you are saved, I want to say a word to you that are saved. Enoch walked with God. Are you trying to walk with God? Walking with God is your contentment. Walking with God will be your satisfaction and your joy. I preach to people almost every week right here in this church. And I preach my heart out, try to, every time I get up to preach. And I wonder really how serious you are about knowing God. And I made that as a general statement to everybody. But I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. I want you to live. I don't want you just to be saved in profession. I want you to live for God. I want you to live your life for Jesus. Amen. How many of us have had second chances, third chances, tenth chances? You know, let's use it for God's glory. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Sister Paul Sue's coming to the piano. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I've tried my best to be obedient to You today. Lord, I've tried to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just preach just very simple this morning. Very basic, very simple. The message, God, You laid on my heart. Enoch walked with God. A true evidence of a person being saved is they have a desire to have fellowship and intimacy with God and walk with God. And Lord, I want to thank you that Enoch is a standard for us. Enoch is an example for us in the most difficult, defiled, sinful days. Yet we find a man walking with God when nobody else was. Several hundred years prior between Adam and him. But nobody walking with Jesus. Nobody walking with God. Lord, I pray you help folk in this building today, every young person, every visitor, every church member, to search their heart and to see if there is the fact of being born again. And God, you can do that today. It's not religion. Religion is just a heavenly way to hell. Religion is not salvation. Lord, I just ask now that you take the message, our feeble effort to preach it. Get glory from it. May there be fruit. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.